Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Good to be back here in our Dog Nation World Headquarters studios today. And at some point in time, I want to talk more about what happened in the Sugar Bowl, because I still think there's a lot more to unpack from that. Frankly, we've barely even sort of grazed the surface for what there is to be said about the way that Georgia ended its 2019 season and started the calendar year with its win against Baylor this past week on Wednesday. But for today, we're not going to be able to do that. Fully loaded on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, Connor Riley later on. We'll have him on the show as a guest today. He was in Orlando last night for the Under Armour All-American game. He'll tell us about what happened in the game with a lot of the Georgia guys who were playing in it. He was also around for the Zach Evans drama. We'll do that with Connor a bit later on, Jeff Sintel is in San Antonio, where five-star cornerback Keely Ringo will make his college announcement tomorrow. We'll talk to Jeff about the latest on that. The scene, including the UGA guys who are there as a part of the All-American Bowl, we'll do that on both recruiting fronts later on today's program. But let me begin with the weird drama involving Zachary Evans. And there's no way else to say this. It's just hard to follow. It's confusing. It's seemingly contradictory at times. Many of you are aware of the basic facts as we understand them. Last night was supposed to be a big announcement from five-star running back Zachary Evans. Near the end of the Under Armour All-American game from Orlando, Evans was supposed to make his college choice known. It started kind of coming out, though, 24 hours or so before that, certainly 12 hours at least before that, that when the official schedule of who's going to be announcing when and which TV block they were going to be filling up, as that was coming out, it was seen that Zach Evans' name was not on there. Evans apparently thinking better of the decision of making his college choice known to the world. When that first happens, you're really kind of left with only three choices for why it might be taking place: Evans souring on Georgia, Georgia souring on Evans, or the third possibility, which there's some sort of academic thing that's going to hang all of this up. And we were kind of left to debate that amongst ourselves, some of you on message boards, some of you in text, you know, group chats, things like that, trying to decide, well, what is the real reason that Zach Evans is not making his college choice known at the end of the Under Armour All-American game? Well, during the broadcast, Evans was interviewed. And at least on the base of this interview, we sort of get the sense that apparently it was maybe the, and I, you know, earlier I said it was, you know, Georgia souring on him. We don't know for sure who Evans has signed with, but obviously there's been a lot of that online chatter that would lead you to believe it likely was Georgia one way or another. Whatever school that Evans has signed with, apparently there is some sort of issue there, because Evans, when given a chance to speak on ESPN last night, essentially offered what basically amounts to an apology to the coaches of the school that he signed with here, certainly leading you to believe that Evans' reason for not making his announcement last night was somehow discipline-related. Here is an example of Zach Evans, pretty contrite when you look back at some of the things that may have happened with him recently. Let me let you hear Zach Evans.
First and foremost, I want to apologize to all my college coaches for everything that's going on and what they're hearing. I'm really a good kid, and I wanted to, you know, come up here. I came in, I learned from some foreign professionals how to overcome adversity. I made some stupid decisions, and I'm ready to compete at the next level.
What's the next step for you in this process?
I'm ready to come in, be a learning prospect. I'm ready to come in and show them that I'm ready to listen. I'm coachable.
So he says he's ready to listen and be coached. Obviously, the presumption here is that the apology that Evans is offering there dates back to his state championship game, in which he was, I guess, suspended from his team and not able to play in that game. And so you hear Evans being pretty contrite about that. And on the basis of what Evans says there, you're left to conclude that the reason why Evans was not announcing last night is in somehow related to the discipline issue that kept him off the field at the end of his high school career, when North Shore, I guess, went on to win the state championship even without Evans playing there in the state of Texas, city of Houston. But apparently these two things sort of seem related. In that same interview with ESPN last night, Deion Sanders, who's a figure connected to Under Armour, but also a figure kind of connected to the the high school football scene there in the state of Texas, was with Evans during the interview. And Deion, who, you know, knows a lot about high school football and kind of around, especially in that state of Texas right now, kind of offered an endorsement of sorts of Zach Evans, and kind of told kind of some of his own story about this from that same interview. Here is the former NFL legend Deion Sanders.
I've known him for a few years, coming to camps. He made a mistake, man, and he lives me. It was a stupid mistake. I let my emotions get the best of me. He said, "Coach, I want another chance. I can prove to the world that I am a better person and I can make better decisions. He's a kid, man. I got kicked off the team my junior year for doing something stupid. Coach let me back home. I made it up. The rest is history. He deserves another shot.
So Deion Sanders there sort of openly advocating for Zach Evans to get, as Deion describes it, another chance, making it sound like that the chance of playing college at whatever school he signed with, a strong presumption is that it was Georgia. Deion making it sound right there like that chance has been put on hold or maybe even taken away from him, at least on the basis of what we kind of know right now. And all you can do is kind of read into this and listen into this. That's Deion Sanders there. A little bit more from Zach Evans, and Deion also chimes in on this too, but the overall state of the situation right now. Once again, here's the interview from the ESPN2 broadcast last night of the Under Armour All-American game.
It was stupid. It was an immature decision. I was being selfish to my teammates, and I'm ready to come in and show them that I'm ready.
Is he ready?
I believe he is. He damn sure ready on the field. Now if he can just couple that with off the field, and I believe he can, especially in the right environment, this kid is going to play on Sundays.
So listen, of all the stuff here, and it's very difficult to figure all of it out, the thing that Deion says at the end there, that's the one part of this story that no one can deny. He says he's damn sure ready on the field. Now you just got to couple that with off the field stuff, and this kid's going to play on Sundays. That seems to be the most succinct and kind of most, I guess, fully formed understanding of all of this is nobody questions Zach Evans as a player, but given the fact that there were a couple of different things that happened during the year that caused him to miss time for his North Shore high school here during his senior season, obviously the off-field stuff really kind of calls you into question and all this kind of stuff. And all I can do is sort of extend my opinion on this. And my opinion is the same as it was the other day when I first started talking about this coming back off the hiatus from Christmas. I'm not ready to turn my back on Zach Evans yet. Now, I can't speak for Georgia and what Georgia's going to do, assuming that Georgia is the school that lands Evans. I can't speak for Georgia on this. All I can say is if I was in Georgia's position, I'm not turning my back on Evans. And some of you are going to say, especially the more cynically minded, well, B.A., you're only saying that because he's a five-star running back. That's probably true. I mean, talent gives you additional opportunities. That's not necessarily fair, but life is not necessarily fair. You know, there are different sort of scales of judgment depending on what you bring to the table. And for someone like Zach Evans, who brings a great deal of talent to the table, he is just going to get a little bit of a longer leash than a less talented player. That is just the nature of the business. But it's also not necessarily wrong to be a little bit more forgiving of some of the things that maybe he's had go on. I mean, I say this all the time, and this is one area in which I'm pretty consistent because you don't hear me on the show a lot of times, you know, ragging on other players from other programs that get in trouble. For the most part, I'm sort of in favor of second chances. For the most part, I'm sort of in favor of the game of football, the sport that football is, being a big-time catalyst for the kinds of growth and maturity and changes that players need to have. Admittedly, in this case, it can sound a little self-serving because we are Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Obviously, fans want to find a way to make room for Zach Evans at Georgia, so that comes across as self-serving, but you'd be hard-pressed to ever explain to me why Evans or any player like Evans, life is going to be better without football being in it. I mean, here's the thing you got to understand. If he were to show up at Georgia and enroll as an early enrollee, the one thing that Georgia can give him right away that for so many players in Evan's situation is a complete life changer on the spot. That's a very disciplined regimen. Now, I'm not talking about discipline in terms of do this, don't do that. I'm talking about here are the boundaries for what you're going to do with your time. You're going to go to class here. You're going to eat nutritious food here. You're going to be in the gym and workout room here. And sometimes that alone is all you need to make a big change. And I hate to be a philosophical blowhard here, but for those people who want to make like a better life change in 2020, one of the easiest ways to do that is just to sort of say be more disciplined with your time. Just start waking up at the same time every morning and see how big of a change that makes. For high school football players going to college, a lot of that's very much the same way. That phase one of a year that Kirby Smart describes it, where it is about being in the weight room and it's about pushing yourself to see how strong you can get, what kind of physical condition you can get into. For many young men who enter college for the first time, that becomes a fascinating experience to sort of pour and invest time into themselves and see how good they can get. We talk about competition all the time. In the early stages of a college career, and especially in the early portion of the calendar year, the competition is against yourself, pushing yourself beyond the limits of what you thought was possible. And could that alone be enough to give Zach Evans what he needs to start him down the process towards more maturity? I think there's a chance that's possibly the case. And yes, obviously, Georgia fans want to try to find a way to get a running back like this in the fold. We'll certainly grant you that, but we'll also say that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that guys like Evans are better with football in their life. So we're not turning our back on Zach Evans yet. My advice to Georgia fans would be not to do the same thing, to sort of give yourself that possibility that Evans is still a member of this 2020 class. And by the way, one more brief thought on this. Hard not to read into what Georgia quarterback signee Carson Beck tweeted last night. The famous picture of the shush signs, for those of you listening podcast radio, involving Kelee Ringo and involving Zach Evans and Darnell Washington and, of course, Beck himself. And Beck last night tweeted that picture again with the two check marks, essentially saying that Beck himself is in the fold, that Darnell Washington's now in the fold. More on him, by the way, coming up in a moment. Now just waiting for the other two names on that list. Ringo we'll hear about on Saturday, and we'll talk more to Jeff Sintel about him in just a moment from San Antonio. And possibly still room for Zach Evans there as well. I hope cooler heads prevail on both sides. I hope eventually that foursome that you see on that photo, for those of you watching on video, I'd love to see all four of those guys find their way at Georgia. And I do believe the presence of a college regimen, of a the kind of discipline on your time and on your body that the college life requires, I think that could do wonders for a guy like Zach Evans. And if it doesn't work out, then it's not that easy to move. It's not that difficult to move on either. But on this show, we're not turning our back on Zach Evans yet. My advice to Georgia fans would be to act the same way. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. Good to have you with us. Live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as podcasts, wherever you find them. Brought to you today by our friends at Kroger, and it's so good to be back in our Dog Nation World Headquarters studios, hanging out with our friends at Kroger again here today. And by the way, as we head towards the new year, great saving opportunities at Kroger. You can start saving today on digital deals. Download coupons. You can already start doing that and redeem those in-store this weekend. I'm talking about Kellogg's Large Cereal, just $1.49 with card and coupon. Maxwell House Coffee. Boy, I needed some Maxwell House Coffee this morning to get woken up after a long time in New Orleans. That's just $3.99 with card and coupon. Oscar Mayer Fresh Deli Lunch Meat, just $1.99 with card and coupon. It's a great way to kind of get rolling back to school. I know many of you going back on Monday, got kids going back on Monday, so this is a great way to save at the end of this holiday break here. Check out the Kroger close to you for a whole lot more on that. Before we get Jeff Sintel, let's go around the doghouse here for a moment, and let's talk about Darnell Washington. Big time get for the Dogs in the class of 2020 last night, and I'm going to show you this a little bit, and you got to go check out Todd Hartley's feed. You can kind of see the full animation of all this. Pretty fun tie-in with the Las Vegas, which is Darnell Washington's hometown. When he announced Georgia last night, Hartley came out with a really good tweet on this and had the Georgia slot machine, and it kind of spins and it rolls jackpot and lands in the three G's. So they've obviously had a really good time of, you know, enjoying the fact that Darnell Washington does come to UGA via Las Vegas. And last night was a big announcement when Washington, and you see another graphic there on your screen of Washington, who is signed, now sealed and delivered to Georgia for its 2020 class. And Washington last night made that official on the Under Armour All-American game from Orlando. It's a great thing to be able to see. And obviously, we've all now, because it's been largely assumed that Washington was coming to Georgia, so we've kind of all had our turn of talking about what Washington might mean for UGA. But watching the Sugar Bowl this past week, I was kind of left with, I guess, a reminder of why Washington is potentially so important to Georgia. Go back and rewatch the beginning of that game, and it was pretty clear that Georgia, maybe it was on the basis of just the fact that it had limited personnel and, you know, whatever the reason, but Georgia was trying to play a little faster, right? Trying to play a little bit more up-tempo. And one of the ways in which you ensure your ability to play up-tempo in a situation like this is by refraining from substituting, right? Keeping the same 11 guys in the field. And you can get to the line quicker and run the same play quicker. And as long as you're not substituting, you know, the defense doesn't really have a chance to substitute quite as much there as well. So sometimes faster play is necessitated by keeping that same personnel in the field. But for college teams, a lot of times, it's sort of hard to do. you know, the same group of guys too many times because different guys are good at different things. But with a guy like Washington, who is so big and so strong, the kind of guy that can add to your running game because of his size and ability to block, but also has the athleticism that he brings to the table, you know, lightning fast quickness for a guy that size. We've seen a lot of the highlights, a lot of that was put on display here in Orlando as well. For someone who brings a lot of that to the table, working with Todd Hartley and being developed, working with James Coley and the other Georgia coaches and being developed, what you really see is one of those guys that doesn't have to be substituted in and out of the game very much. One of those guys that as he develops as a college player that can be in on running plays, that can be in on passing plays, that has the size and the athleticism to kind of do either one. I mean, that's really the coveted role in college football now. These guys that don't require being substituted out of games enables you to run a lot of different kind of formations with the same personnel because of the versatility of the personnel you have on the field. That is potentially what Washington brings to the table. A very impressive young man and a nice get for Georgia this 2020 class. We knew that this week was going to be filled with big news one way or another, and obviously UGA fans had the hope that it would be good news. Well, Washington's addition last night, no matter what happens the rest of the weekend, Washington's addition last night is undoubtedly good news. Dogs needed a big-time tight end, and they got one. And that's the headline you need to know when it comes to Darnell Washington. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. Later on today's show, we are live in Orlando, or at least from a young man back from Orlando. We'll talk to Connor Riley about Washington and everything else that happened there in Central Florida last night with the Under Armour All-American game. But for now, I want to go to San Antonio. Jeff Sintel getting ready for Keely Ringo's announcement on Saturday, but obviously following the proceedings involving Georgia recruiting wherever it has kind of gone the last couple of days. So let's do him at the moment. It's Jeff Sintel as part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, and it's great to have you with us as well.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Busy time for those who cover UGA recruiting. That means our buddy Jeff Sintel here, who is good enough to join us from San Antonio, Texas, the site of tomorrow's All-American Bowl. You can watch that on NBC. A lot of Georgia names involved. The most significant, at least in terms of new news, will be what five-star cornerback Keely Ringo does when he makes his announcement. You better believe we'll talk about that before we're done on today's show. Jeff, happy new year to you. Thanks for spending some time with us here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, and hope the new year finds you doing well.
Hey, Brandon. Happy new year, sir. I hope the French Quarter was as good to you as the Mercedes-Benz Superdome was on New Year's night, and it was like a fun time was had by everyone in Dog Nation that day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was a good time. It was it's easy to remember why New Orleans, the city, has such a special place in so many Georgia fans' heart. When you go there, experience a win and experience the celebration that Georgia fans got to enjoy. I know it wasn't as big a crowd as Georgia's taken to the Crescent City in the past, but those who were there had a really good time. And maybe some of those folks still dealing with that hangover the next morning were probably extra confused when Zach Evans, I guess it was known around Evans, and Evans himself has tried to offer some clarity on this, about not making his college announcement last night. Let me start open-ended on this, Jeff, and we'll kind of drill down on some more specific points on this. What is going on with Evans as you understand it?
Ah, geez, man. That's what you want to do with that one. Here's the thing. The first thing I'm never going to do is I'm not going to run down a young man, any negative character influences, any negative on the field, off the field influences. I'm just going to share the things that seem clear to me, and also not try and sound like the smartest guy in the room, because I think this is one of those things that letting it all play out really, really makes the most sense right here. So everybody starts wondering about Zach Evans, and they go, okay, he's talking to Georgia. That's the only school he's talking to Georgia. Does that mean he signed a letter of intent? Well, when we spoke to Zach Evans on December the 28th, he said he'd signed a letter of intent, and he said that he's very happy with his decision and he was going to enroll early. Now all those things are questionable. I don't know if everyone has full clarity about, did he sign an LOI? Did he sign a financial aid form? Where he's at right now. It was very peculiar when we all started hearing yesterday morning that Evans, who was slated to be the marquee guy in the broadcast, was no longer going to announce. And it was funny how they did it. I know everybody wonders about the Deion Sanders thing and how they had this televised humble yourself type apology. But really, it was, to me, just looking at it from a producer, you know, television type standpoint, really all they did is move the time that they had slated in their broadcast for Dante Manning to the fourth quarter, when Dante went, that's when Zach Evans was supposed to make his decision. And then they left that, they had a hole into their show, and then they just moved the Zach Evans conversation with Deion Sanders into the middle of their broadcast. It is definitely peculiar, Brandon, but I think with this one, I was trying to tactfully say, maybe back in September, October, that nothing Zachary Evans does will surprise me.
So,
and nothing will happen the rest of this way that will surprise me. Nothing that has happened so far will surprise me. This is just going to be one of the most, everybody says the word roller coaster. I don't even think that's it. It's just really hard to get your arms around things. Because a guy like me in this trade, when everybody, okay, Zach Evans puts out, he signed. Zach Evans puts out a final three. Zach Evans says he is committing on national television at this time. Those finally feel like, okay, there's some tent poles, there's some structure around this decision, and then it goes to the wayside. The comments that are on DogNation.com right now, I would advise everybody to check those out if they haven't already, where it sounded like, in Zach Evans' words, there were things he couldn't talk about right now. There were things he couldn't say right now. There were things that changed over the last 12 hours, the night before he was set to go live. And then all those pro-Georgia comments at the end were also something that gets everybody thinking, well, if he did sign and he's talking to a team, the only team he could be talking to and throwing shout-outs to was Georgia. So I think all the possibilities are on the table here. It could be an enrollment in June. It could be enrollment in May. It could be an enrollment early. There's just question marks around everything, and this is just a recruiting from A to Z. It has been designed to have question marks throughout it.
So I want to do two more things on Evans, and then I want to talk about the other big names, including Darnell Washington, had a huge announcement last night. The first one is kind of more of a technical thing. So when Evans is on ESPN last night, he certainly makes it sound like his reason for not announcing was discipline-related, because he spent so much time apologizing, and as you mentioned, Sanders spent so much time advocating on Evans' behalf. So if we assume that that's true, in addition to that, what's the sense about the academic situation here? If Georgia or the school that Evans signed with, we presume that he signed the letter of intent for just sake of conversation here, if that school said, okay, all is forgiven, we'll give you a second chance, is the sense there that Evans has the ACT score, has the academic credentials to be, as he was slated to be, an early enrollee who shows up on a college campus on Monday? What's the sense about the academic part of this?
Yeah, I think Brandon, everybody's wondering there if Zach Evans has the potential to pull a Monty Rice, which means just show up on campus without any fanfare. And maybe that's a way where he comes into college very humble. He doesn't have the crowning glory moment during the Under Armour All-American game that others did. There's the thinking there, because it's been a documented story that he was late to one of his semifinal games in the Texas High School State Playoffs because he was taking the ACT. You don't have to be a CSI Dog Nation recruiting scientist to figure out that obviously there was a pretty big need to take that ACT at that time in the middle of the football playoffs. And here in Texas, Texas high school football is certainly a big deal. There's several Hollywood blockbuster movies that have documented that. But, you know, Brandon, there's just so many things. Like, you have sources on this, and they're close to this situation. And even they say, I don't know. They say, I don't know why Zach did that. I don't know why Zach is doing this now. It seems like a standard answer for those folks that are close to Evans and around this, is they say, I don't know. And really, that's people being honest. I mean, yeah. Like I say on this program a couple times, you know, you can sound like you're the smart guy in the room and you can kind of fake it. But I think folks will remember that when you simply say, I don't know, and who knows what's going to happen here, I think that is someone trying to give you the very best answer they possibly can.
No, I think that's absolutely fair. Let me give you my opinion on all this, and I'll let you respond to my opinion. Then we'll move on and talk about some other of the big names who are out there right now. Based on everything that has been credibly reported up to this point about Evans, as a fan of this team, I haven't heard anything yet that would cause me to want to turn my back on Evans and say, well, this is not a guy I want at Georgia. Now, as I said before you joined us, the cynic who hears this will say, well, that's because he's a five-star running back. Of course, that's obviously part of this. There's just a little bit more leniency involved for someone who has a truly elite level of talent. I won't deny that. But the other part of this, Jeff, is, and I've told you this both privately, and I've said this on the show before publicly too, I don't mean to sound flip here, but it's just not that hard to get rid of someone who comes on college campuses and causes a problem. So if Evans can't respond well to the sort of disciplined schedule that he's going to be given when he shows up on a college, no matter what kind of college that is, if somehow he doesn't respond well to that, it's not that hard for the school to move on from that. So because of that, speaking as someone who wants the best for Georgia, I'm not ready to see Georgia turn its back on Evans. I'm not ready to give up on this drama. I'm willing to let it play out. And admittedly, I still hope this ends with Evans joining Kendall Milton as a tandem of elite running backs for the class of 2020. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things there, Brandon. I just remember talking to Zach at Media Day, and I asked him a tough question or two, because everybody's talking about suspension A, suspension B, and he acknowledged the suspensions. The one thing I think people don't understand about Zach, and I asked him this question, is I said, how do people misrepresent you? Do you feel like, you know, what's out there is actually a reflection of who you are, or is it what you've done? Because a lot of times in life, our actions reflect our character, not just our words. And I said, here's a great example, Brandon, the early enrollee part. Folks, it is really hard to enroll early in high school. I mean, everybody gets to their senior year and they know that, oh yeah, that's right, they can, everybody has an office aid, a couple of PEs, and only one or two core classes. But still, the ability, that means extra time. A lot of times it might mean some online courses. It might mean doubling up. It might mean doing summer school. Especially for a football player that's traveling around like Zach Evans has, it's harder to do that than the average mainstream student. And he was telling me about how hard it was, how much work he had to put into to be able to enroll early. And then he was kind of basically where he said, I know what people think about me. And he said, once I get on a college campus, the fans are going to have their opinion about me. And it's my job to change that opinion. And he's like, once they see me play, once they see me do what I can do for their school, they'll come around and they'll love me for what I can do for them on the football field. Because unfortunately, I hate it. That's why a lot of our reporting here on Dog Nation tries to go counter to that. But a lot of times these young men and their worth are valued in what they can do on the field, what they can do for a football scoreboard. And Zach understands that. So with me trying to give every due respect to the situation, I'm going to say something that I hope would be the gist of this Zach Evans conversation. Right now, if you're a Georgia fan and you're wondering, man, this Zach Evans kid, what's going on with him? What's going up? Does anybody understand what's going on here? The answers to that are probably no. And who knows? But yeah. If you're a Georgia fan, with your cup of coffee or your bacon, egg, and cheese this morning, here's what you can think about. Which school, in my opinion, in my educated opinion, still seems like that's the school that is trending to wind up with Zachary Evans? That school, in my opinion, is Georgia. What school is... So that's the one thing where it all seems like Georgia is still the school here. The points of interpretation or the points of... to explore here in conversations like this one around the water cooler on the golf course is, did you show up in January? Did you show up in May or June? What's left between the timing? It's maybe not so much if Zachary Evans will be a Bulldog anymore. It's more of a question of when will Zachary Evans be a Bulldog. I think those are the big questions right now, rather than letters of intent, financial aid forms, did he wrangle out of something? Is somebody trying to get out of something? I think that's misinformation, and I think it's irresponsible reporting right now, unless you have that locked, stone-cold solid from several sources.
For those of you watching on video, we do have breaking news. We'll do more of this on this coming up in a couple of minutes. But Mississippi State, according to the Jackson Clarion Ledger, and I'm sure everywhere else as well, has fired Joe Moorhead. This was a guy who was supposed to be safe at the end of the regular season. And after a couple of weird instances involving that program the last couple of days, Moorhead's status had been called into question, and now the Bulldogs have moved on from Moorhead. That's happening live for those watching on video right now. We'll do more on this coming up in a moment. Jeff, let me do some recruiting stuff. Kind of, obviously, we spent a lot of time on Evans. I want to be respectful of your time, so I'll try to do the rest of this as quickly as I can. Let me start with Darnell Washington. By now, we've talked about Washington a lot. So let me kind of sum all of this up this way. Here's what I perceive Washington's value to Georgia to be. You know, if Georgia's going to make changes to its offense, one of the changes that some fans hope is that Georgia just plays a little faster. Well, Jeff, as you know, faster play requires fewer substitutions. That's kind of how you maintain a pace. But you've got to have versatile athletes if you want to play with the same 11 guys more frequently. That, to me, is what Washington can be. He's big enough to contribute to a run game because, obviously, he is just a load when it comes to blocking for the run game. But he's also got this rare level of athleticism for someone his size. To me, when I think about the value of Darnell Washington, it's that unique hybrid of a big guy that can help set the edge for a running game, but a quick guy that can be very difficult. If you're going to try to put a linebacker on him in pass coverage, good luck with that because of his athleticism. This is what I think Washington's potential value here is. It's the versatility that he brings to the table.
Yeah, and so Darnell Washington is a guy, and I think one of the stories I'm working on for probably post-All-American game coverage is, what's the real Darnell Washington like, and what's the real Zachary Evans like? Are these similar elite, potential dynamite players for Georgia, any way you want to look at that? I think that's something that we really have to get into and add some depth to. But with Washington, I'll just plainly say and articulate what I see here. I have a lot of respect for Georgia tight ends coach Todd Hartley, the way he goes about his business, the way he's rose in his profession. From a recruiting coordinator to assistant coach. I look at Darnell Washington, I think that will be, simply put, the greatest work so far of Todd Hartley's young career as an assistant coach. Now, either Darnell Evans is going to be a third-round or a fourth-round pick, that might be the floor here, or he's going to be a first-round pick. And the bullet point at the top of Todd Hartley's resume, because when you look at Darnell Washington, we saw him this weekend. We saw a lot of him. To me, he didn't look like he was in shape, but that's natural. A lot of these boys haven't done a whole lot since the end of their football season. He has to work on finding his true potential by effort level in practice, and it's not negligent, and it's not deficient, but it just needs to get better for him to go and one day shake Roger Goodell's hand really early in an NFL draft. These are the things about Darnell Washington. I think he's a little misguided or a little misunderstood as well, and hopefully that reporting will add context to it. But, Brandon, if this young man gets to be 90% of what he can be during the next 3 years in Georgia, and that includes some of Scott Sinclair's greatest work as a Georgia Bulldog strength and conditioning coach, too, Brandon, I don't know who in the world can answer this question. It's Darnell Washington, and can you cover him at 11 feet in the air? And that's something that even a safety like Jeffrey Okuda, even the guys like Isaiah Simmons, even some of the most versatile, talented hybrid defenders in college football. When you start asking someone to cover Darnell Washington at 11 feet in the air on a red zone ball, now you're talking about some very rarefied air because you've got the 85-inch length, you've got 6'7" and a half. I think some of the best scouting opinion about Darnell Washington is this. Brandon, he might hit the wall as a tight end. He might not ever make it as a tight end. But if you put 25, 30 more pounds on him, he could be a first-round offensive tackle. That's how athletic he is. That's how explosive he can be. I mean, he's got a 31-inch vertical. He ran a laser 4.75 in the 40-yard dash at the opening. We just don't see prospects quite like Darnell Washington. We've been writing about him for a while. It certainly seemed like Georgia was trending his way for a while. He's played all over. There's lots of clips on social media that would be the definition of viral. I still remember the one where he was playing a three technique on a defensive tackle. He tips the ball. He collars the ball. He brings it down. There are two or three offensive linemen hanging on him trying to bring it down, and he has the wherewithal to just flip the ball out to his left flank to one of his defensive teammates, and they go and score for a touchdown. I mean, that's a remarkable football play. I still think of that every time I see Darnell Washington. And when you see him run down the field, Brandon, how he can extend and go get a ball. Right now, he's lumbering. Like he didn't even start the Under Armour All-American game on last night. And I think that was because of three-star tight end going to Iowa. I saw him in practice. Elijah Yelverton practiced at game speed the whole time. That's the way Darnell Washington's going to have to practice when he gets to the University of Georgia. And the potential there, he now becomes the highest-rated player in Georgia's class, signing class right now. Takes him to number 3 overall in the country. He's the number 10 overall recruit. Georgia now has 3 5-stars on the board for the 2020 class and potentially about 2 or 3 more to come.
Before I finish up with a look at what's happening there in San Antonio, let me squeeze one more thing in on Washington. And this doesn't really matter, but admittedly, I'm still curious. You know, because Washington didn't start the game last night, obviously we're in the process of those kind of final evaluations for the final rankings for prospects. Do you think Washington is a safe bet to hold on to his 5th star when the final rankings come out?
Yeah, I think he is. I think it's going to be a very hard for anybody to fall 22 spots in their rankings. On the subject of rankings mojo, though, I would think a guy like Darnell Washington would stay there, but I would think a guy like Jalen Carter is making a move for his 5th star.
Yeah,
I think Tate Ratledge is kind of right there in the range of a 5th star. You see a lot of players, man. It's really funny how these games compare and contrast. Seems to me like the offensive and defensive line, by and large, the better players were offensive and defensive lines were in San Antonio. When you have the game in Orlando, it seems like I have someone knocking at my door. In San Antonio, the better offensive and defensive lines are going to be they're here. Offensive and defensive lines. Are in Under Armour All American game. That's
sure.
Where all the defensive and offensive linemen are. With the rest of the players, the quarterbacks, the really great quarterbacks, Brandon, are here in San Antonio for the All American Bowl. So you start looking at a lot of these players and who's here, who's not here. Sounds funny, Brandon. You look around the field here at San Antonio, and there's Noah Sewell again. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
And Keely Ringo's over. Playing cornerback. He's a 5-star cornerback for the West team. Georgia still has Tate Ratledge, Jalen Kimber, and that are here as commitments / signees in the 2020 class. Ringo is obviously the very big target. Alex Huntley is a name, Brandon. I spoke to him this week in San Antonio, the defensive lineman out of South Carolina. Remember that Jordan Burch story? Didn't sign? Well, the same thing applies to him. Alex Huntley did not sign during the early period because that's a Hammond school type thing. And Huntley tells me that Georgia finished number 2 in the summer when he chose South Carolina. Big reason he chose the Gamecocks was his long relationship with Will Muschamp. But he's going to give Georgia an official that sounds almost certain out of his mind right now. And really, the only official he has left in his mind right now as a contending school would be Georgia. So it'll be very interesting. It sounds like Georgia's going to have a chance in the BPA type category there for Alex Huntley. And I asked Huntley, matter-of-factly, I said, do you feel if you wanted to go to Georgia, that you have a scholarship offer waiting for you? And he articulated he heard from Trey Scott that if he wants to come to Georgia, there would be room for him in the class of 2020. McKinley Jackson's the other one. That's the big-time defensive tackle out of Mississippi. A lot of folks want, even the Dog Nation Forum, I love our forum members, but they get a little bit too high in the sky sometimes when they think Kirby Smart can just pull in anybody and this staff can pull in anybody. I would still say the most responsible thing to say there as a recruiting analyst is let's get the big boy Jackson on campus first. Let him take an official visit. Let him rekindle that connection there with Matt Luke, who was the head coach at Ole Miss for a time. And I think that's where things will start because Georgia right now is playing catch up with LSU and Alabama and other schools when it comes to McKinley Jackson.
Those are good notes. Let me finish up with this, Jeff. Just kind of an overview of what you've seen so far in San Antonio. Obviously, eyes on Keely Ringo's announcement tomorrow. Any reason to think that's somehow going to be different than what we've anticipated it being now for quite some time? Just the scene there in Texas for the All-American Bowl, which takes place tomorrow afternoon.
Well, let me share this. And this is something I think needs to be said. Is I wonder about the future of these events because how it intersects now with the early signing period, with guys already signed with schools, and some schools that still some prospects that still go left unsigned. It kind of becomes, those are kind of the free agents on the hot stove league, so to speak, in baseball, or you know, whatever you want to say. But with all this, Brandon, there is an undercurrent of worry and concern. Over the last two or three years, Brandon, they've scaled back a lot of these events. Nobody tackles to the ground. Nobody really does anything more than study. The one-on-ones you see in this camp are continually declining, where these are more like just fun camps for these players to go hang out, be in a city, go to some restaurants, you know, just kind of have big camaraderie festivals for a lot of these young men. But Brandon, this was my first day here. I believe it was January the 1st. And I think within 90 seconds of one another, you see Eric Gilbert go down with a shoulder injury. He's not expected to play in the game. And then Jackson Smith-Ngaba, who's an Ohio State commitment, who he's only seen as the nation's number 33 overall prospect and number 5 receiver, but I think he's the best receiver in the country by far. And those two guys both go down back-to-back within one another about 90 seconds. And really, Brandon, you just needed to have your head on the swivel and look around, and all these players here were like, all right, man, I'm going back down from fifth gear to down to fourth gear, because the look in their faces was like they didn't get all the way through their senior years and come through their senior years healthy and find themselves detangled up and on the ground and going to see a trainer or going to get x-rays at an All-American game. So that's one of those things where, you know, you see Kendall Milton skip it. Jermaine Burton skipped it. Major Byrne skipped it. Clay Webb skipped it last year. There's beginning to be a little bit of a rising tide of players who just feel like, you know what, I'm signed. I'm going to go play college football. I'm going to go be in college. And some guys just decide to do all that rather than take one more trip, especially the early enrollees, Brandon. A little bitty soapbox moment here I'd like just folks to think about this morning is with the early signees, man, I don't know if the best thing future-wise for the NCAA is to not just make that early signing period for the early enrollees only, because then that makes a lot more sense there with the theory and everybody getting things done. But with these schools and these colleges, you would understand the resistance there because they want to get these players signed up and locked away in their class as soon as possible, so they don't have to continue recruiting these young men.
Hey, Jeff, good stuff. We'll look forward to more of your coverage from San Antonio. Big day tomorrow with Keely Ringo. Can't wait to be a part of all of that. Obviously, we appreciate your time here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. Happy New Year. It's fun to be back doing this again. It feels like it's been a while since you and I have done this together. So good stuff. I look forward to speaking to you soon.
All right, guys. Got a few stories coming up on Dog Nation today. Keely Ringo, maybe something about Caleb Williams, maybe something about Dave Ratledge,
too. Good stuff. Sounds great.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, so interesting with Jeff's intel on a number of fronts there, and obviously big day tomorrow. Dog Nation all over the Keely Ringo announcement. We'll have more details for you that on to come, but some of these things can be a little fluid, as yesterday proves, but looking forward to being a part of that tomorrow as Keely Ringo gets ready to make his big announcement. Let's go cruise around the SEC now, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Before I do that, let me also remind you that another guest on our show here coming up, we'll talk to Connor Riley, fresh off a trip to Orlando. He was at the Under Armour All-American game last night. He'll give us kind of a first-person perspective on that coming up. Before that, though, as I said, cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And, you know, Georgia got a big win this past week, which means that a lot of folks looking for a great way to celebrate. To me, there's no better celebration, bold celebration, than the one that you get when you take a Royal Caribbean cruise. And really, Royal Caribbean's been setting the cruise industry standard with dazzling full-scale productions on every cruise. The entertainment's amazing, and it's all included with your fare. I'm talking about awe-inspiring Tony Award-winning Broadway musicals, ice skating, dive shows, performance drones, original productions there as well. And on the Oasis-class ships, you also get those Aqua Theater shows, which is kind of an amazing thing to see as well. Plus, you got all the night spots, like Casino Royale, the Bolero's Bar, Playmakers, which is the sports bar, Schooner Bar, you know, all kinds of nightclubs, things like that. You don't talk about just fun entertainment, like being in a big city on the sea. That's what a Royal Caribbean cruise really provides for you. So contact your travel professional to find out more about that. Or let me recommend my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority. You can reach out to them at 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. But let them know you heard about them right here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, for those of you who are watching live right now, you heard me say this a moment ago. Now, for later on broadcasts, people who listen on demand, radio, podcast, things like that, this won't be quite as new to you as is to us now, but Mississippi State has fired Joe Moorhead. A couple things go down here as of late. Mississippi State was a favorite over Louisville in its bowl game, and Mississippi State lost that game. Not a very impressive performance in the bowl game. And then Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated, others may have reported this as well. I just happened to see Dellinger say that there had been, I guess, allegations of a fight at Mississippi State practice leading up to the bowl game. That's kind of out there. So those are issues that Moorhead was facing. But the honest truth is the support for Moorhead, even at the end of the season, was just not very strong. And I think part of that is, and can we just be candid here for a moment? We don't have to, like, you know, speak in such flowery tones. Moorhead's not from the South. And, you know, Mullen wasn't originally from the South either, Dan Mullen. But Moorhead's not like that Southern guy. He's not like that guy deeply ingrained in the SEC culture. And I think when things are kind of only going okay, not going super well, I think it can be easy for a program to kind of turn on him pretty quick, a fan base to kind of turn on him pretty quick. And I don't think that Moorhead was very popular with Mississippi State fans. There was a lot of talk, even leading into the Egg Bowl about that late in the season, that folks in Starkville just weren't that sure they liked Joe Moorhead, weren't necessarily that big a fan of him. So it's kind of easy to look for an excuse then to move on from a guy when the people who are paying the bills for everything are just not that jazzed with the guy to begin with. Now, let me say this in kind of a half-serious, half-kidding note. I don't ask for a lot in life, but there is nothing I would love more. Please, 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 please let Mississippi State now reach out to Hugh Freeze. Would that not just be perfect? Freeze, who's back head coaching again, had a nice year, certainly offensively speaking, especially as the coach of the Liberty Flames. Can you imagine Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Hugh Freeze at Mississippi State? You'll talk about making the Egg Bowl even more dramatic, but those two coaches on both sides of this, and I have no idea what Mississippi State will do. But Freeze is out there, and somebody's going to hire him. Being back in the Magnolia State again, that would be fun for me. Maybe too fun to actually come true. But can you imagine the Ole Miss fans who spent years and years defending Freeze for everything, all of a sudden now forced to make the same arguments against Freeze in the kind of back-and-forth fan chatter that they once had to try to, like, defend against from their Mississippi State brethren? That would make the Egg Bowl, I would say, pretty fun. Tennessee got a bowl win last night. Surprisingly, really beat Indiana after trailing for most of the game. Kind of an ugly game. But, listen, give credit where credit's due. 8 wins for Tennessee. I think 6 straight to close the year. I want to say they covered, am I right about this, like 7 of their last 8 games or something crazy like that. So really, around the time that Tennessee played Georgia, and Georgia had to get the scoop and score late to cover the spread in that game, but around that time, Tennessee started playing a much better brand of football and kind of maintained that throughout the year. So ugly losses to start the season, and it kind of turned into a much better finish. So is Jeremy Pruitt now, after a bad start to September, getting some momentum for the Vols? That's going to be one of the big topics there in 2020. One final thing, cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean, that I want to get, and then we're going to get Connor Riley here on the we're going to get Connor Riley on the phone. So Tua Tagovailoa is going to announce on Monday if he's leaving college to go to the NFL or if he's coming back. And I got to tell you, I find all of this to be very suspicious, because I know that Tua is recovering from an injury, and I know that's a pretty long, you know, recovery, and, you know, would potentially impact his ability to be taken number one overall. I get all of that. But there is, in my mind, and I'm not, you know, the number one draft expert, but I'm guessing as this process plays out, you're going to find it said that there is no way that Tua Tagovailoa falls out of the first round. There's just no way. And I find it hard to believe that he'd last, you know, halfway through the first round. I think if Tua Tagovailoa comes back to Alabama, I think he's making a terrible, terrible decision. I don't care if he could play his way into the number one overall position. The fact of the matter is, the kinds of money he could make for being a first-round pick this year, putting that in jeopardy after 2 straight years of having pretty significant injuries he had to deal with, I think that'd be a huge mistake. And if he's making that mistake on the basis of advice that he's getting from people in Tuscaloosa, I think that's a really bad look for Alabama. To me, it comes across as the Crimson Tide exploiting Tagovailoa, as opposed to what will end up being celebrated as this, you know, a great decision, and, you know, Alabama loading up 2020. They'll be doing it on the back of Tagovailoa, if so. And I think that's a bad look for the Crimson Tide. I think that Nick Saban ought to know better than to tell Tagovailoa to come back to Alabama when he can be a first-round pick this year, even dealing with the injury. But we'll have more time to talk about that based on what actually does go down on Monday. That's Cruiser on the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, Our buddy Connor Riley was in Orlando, saw the game last night, was a part of all the practices, and also the best anyone can, was following all the Zach Evans drama there in Central Florida yesterday. So he joins us here on our program. First of all, Connor, thanks for spending some time with us. I know you've had a lot of travel and a lot of work, so we appreciate you squeezing us in on what is a busy day for you, and hope you're doing well.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, B.A.
So let me start with the Evan stuff, and then we'll get to the game itself, because I actually think there was pretty nice performances from some Georgia guys who were in the game. What was it like being in Orlando yesterday, and were the rumors probably outweigh the actual tangible facts by a magnitude or two? What was it like trying to follow this and having had a chance to speak directly to Evans, I believe, last night? What do you make of just kind of where things stand with him at the moment?
I mean, the whole thing is just bizarre. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a high school athlete publicly apologize on national television to his future coaches. I mean, you know, Jeff and I have been chatting about this and whatnot. You know, when we talked to him on Saturday the 28th, he said he had signed and he had sent in a letter of intent. And then talking to him last night, he sort of said that wasn't the case. So with Evans, you don't really know what to believe at this point. You know, he did say he's talking to one school. He did have very nice things to say about Del McGee and Georgia after their win over Baylor. But, you know, you and I have talked about this at length on and off air, and I think we're both at the same point. We'll believe we know where Zach Evans is going when he actually shows up there on campus and maybe even, you know, plays in that first game, because to try and predict where he's going to go or how this thing is going to end up, it's an impossible task, you know. Sitting there watching it, and, you know, it all just seemed too easy that it was going to be this neat and this clean, that he was going to announce in the fourth quarter and everyone is expecting it to be Georgia. It was just, given that all the other ways his recruitment has already played out, it would have been too clean and too easy for him to just do that. So, you know, we're going to continue following this, but to say you have any idea of where this is going to end, when it's going to end, and how it's going to end, you're just lying.
So there's a certain faction of fan, and you get the sense of this from following social media, who's like, you know, this is almost getting to be too much for me. I might sort of be out on this. This is just getting too hard to follow or too frustrating, just given what is, as you said before, directly contradictory information, sometimes coming from the principal himself about where all of this is going. So let me kind of try to spin this way. You also spent some time with Kendall Milton around the time that Milton announced his college decision, and I hear from a lot of Georgia fans, why can't Evans be more like Milton? Great senior year, you know, handled his recruitment the right way, family seemingly totally dialed in on Georgia. That's sort of like the perfect embodiment of what a Georgia fan wants a recruitment to be like, where the family just kind of falls in love with the school and everything is like this march towards eligibility for the 2020 season. And I certainly get that. I mean, obviously that's kind of a storybook recruiting story. We kind of understand all of that. However, when you were in California with Milton, Milton did talk a lot about Evans. So my question for you is this. The fact that Milton and his family seemingly vouch for Evans, does that make you think that Georgia fans ought to be willing to be a little bit more patient with Evans as he goes through what is admittedly a quite different process?
I mean, I don't know about that. The one thing I kind of think on with regard to Evans is, so let's say he's the number 6 ranked running back in the country instead of the number 1 ranked running back. There's all this attention and sort of drama surrounding it. I don't know that. But like you said, Milton has said that Evans has been a priority for a long time. In speaking with him, you know, his last visit to Georgia was that end of July barbecue. In talking with him this week, he did sort of indicate that visit did carry a lot of weight with him. So, you know, for as far as the fans that are potentially, you know, saying, is this guy too much, you know, whatnot, I just remind people, Reuben Foster got a tattoo of the Auburn logo on his forearm.
That's a good point.
And, you know, I know his NFL career hasn't worked out all that well, but in his time at Alabama, he was an exceptional linebacker. So I think one thing to keep in mind with all these guys is they are 17 and 18 years old, and I think the rarity in this situation isn't a guy like Zach Evans and some of the immaturity around him. It's actually Kendall Milton who's the more rarity, just given how mature he is for a person of his age.
You saw a lot of Darnell Washington this week heading into his announcement of Georgia last night, and you know, Washington in his high school career didn't have the luxury of playing with a quarterback like Harrison Bailey, and maybe not even having a quarterback like that at the Under Armour game in Orlando this past week. But to the extent that you can, the best that you can, how polished is he? How finished is he? How much of this is raw materials of size paired with athleticism? And how much of this is a truly, I guess, game-ready tight end at the next level at this point in time based on what you saw with your own eyes?
Well, I think Jeff touched on this earlier. Washington was not in great shape this week. Which, again, as Jeff said, is understandable. You know, he probably hasn't played a game or practiced, you know, for this in a month, and you can kind of tell that he was a little bit winded. Having seen Theo Johnson and having seen Arik Gilbert, I would put both of those guys ahead of him as pass catchers and the sort of fluidity with which they move. But the thing that impresses me the most about Washington is you saw him last night a couple of times where they would line him up and sort of move him and roll the quarterback out and have Washington be as a blocker. And he's just demolishing guys to the next level. So right now, I don't want people to jump too far with this, but he reminds me a little bit of a late-stage Gronk in that. Mm. And this is just based off what I saw him last week. I'm sure once he gets to Georgia, sort of, you know, gets in better conditioning and is in a college strength program, he might be able to move and be a little bit, you know, quicker in and out of his routes. He reminds me a little bit of an old Rob Gronkowski in that, you know, it's not the prettiest guy to watch move, but he's just so big and he's so physical that it's really just hard for you to cover him. There was a time this week where, you know, he was high-pointing balls in the back of the end zone, and they had, unfortunately, a 5'9" corner matched up on him. And when they both left in the air, the corner came up to about Washington's waist.
Wow.
And he's just so massive, and he's, you know, I don't know if he's going to be, you know, that guy that catches, you know, 50 to 60 passes over the course of the season in that sense. But as a red zone weapon, I mean, he's just so big and such a tough cover that he is going to open up some things for Georgia next year.
So let me finish up with this and want to kind of keep this open-ended. A lot of folks, you know, focused on the Sugar Bowl, still kind of hungover from New Year's. Maybe didn't get to follow the game as closely last night. I know there was the weird thing where it seemed like Warren Brinson was hurt, but then kind of fine after that. I know Jalen Carter's gotten rave reviews. MJ Sherman gotten rave reviews. Would you mind just kind of emptying your notebook here for a moment about what you saw from the game? You were in attendance. What you saw this week? Just kind of your overall prevailing thoughts of having spent a good bit of time now in Orlando.
Jalen Carter was, after last night and what he did during camp this week, far and away the best Georgia player there. You know, he's a little bit – Bryce Jones was number two for me. Carter is just so physically impressive at this stage in his career. And the thing that I loved about him, you know, it's easy for these are exhibitions. He was playing hard at every snap. And at one point, they moved Jones down to guard. And Carter lined up on him, and Jones just could not handle him. Carter is going to be a problem at the SEC level, and it would not surprise me if that was sooner rather than later. Warren Brinson, I did talk to him. He said his knee is fine. He was just a little scared. He was worried it was something more significant. He ended up coming back in and playing that game last night. Talked to Mikael Sherman afterwards. He was really, really happy with his performance in the game, and I think he should be. Watching him a little bit earlier in the week, you know, he still got a very big knee brace, and it was clear. I don't know if the knee brace was hitting him, but the knee brace was bothering him. I thought he was really, really good last night, especially playing as an off-ball linebacker. He made some comments afterwards that sort of said he validated the idea that he could play back there. And seeing him move in the ways that he thinks he can do, it's really enticing to imagine him as an inside linebacker, kind of in that Quay Walker-type role, just given his size. Two other points, this is more spanning it forward now. Well, Caleb Williams is a dude. Watching him at the Future 50 camp yesterday, the ball comes out of his head differently than just about anyone. I thought he was absolutely incredible yesterday. And, you know, Jeff and I had a long conversation with him. His recruitment is perhaps a little open than some people thought. A lot of people thought LSU was the leader and the favorite there. Caleb sort of dispelled that notion a little bit. That is a guy who, in my estimation, is quarterback number one for Georgia in this class. And Williams, obviously this happens before Brock Vandegrift decommits from Oklahoma. But William is a guy who Georgia says he is their guy right now. And after what I saw at the Future 50, I wouldn't expect that to change. He's a truly special talent. And to close everything, the month of January is going to be very, very important for Matt Luke. One, Roger Jones is taking his official visit January 24th to Athens. the biggest thing he said in his recruitment with regards to Georgia is having, you know, that face-to-face meet with Matt Luke and sort of getting to know him as a person in person, and that is going to be very important to him. Another thing, another 2021 guy, Amarius Mims, five-star offensive tackle in the 2021 class. Georgia was his leader when Sam Pittman was the offensive line coach. That is now no longer the case. He told us yesterday that Georgia sort of fallen back a little bit behind Alabama and LSU, but that he is looking forward to getting to Georgia as soon as he possibly can to sort of meet and get to know Luke. And if Luke does well with Jones and Mims, I think that's going to go a long way in the future of the Georgia offensive line.
Well, Connor, I can tell you this. I had a chance to spend a little time with Matt Luke after the game on Wednesday night. That guy is boundless energy, and I know you saw some of his stuff from the sideline during the game. If it's a busy month and if it's going to be a reckless pace, I think Matt Luke is more than spoiling for a fight when it comes to stuff like that. I love the energy that he brought to the game on Wednesday.
Yeah, and I talked to those guys. They like what they've seen from him so far. And, you know, we've heard players love Luke, and if he can show that and he can convince, you know, Mims and Jones, who, and just to reiterate this, Jones was just so impressive, and, you know, he's 285. He does not look 285 pounds. When he gets in a college weight room and gets college coaching, he can be every bit as good as Andrew Thomas has been. I think he wants me, well, even more so than Zach Evans at this point, Roger Jones the most important Georgia recruiting storyline leading up to National Signing Day.
That is great to hear. Connor, great stuff. Good to have you back here in the state of Georgia again. Look forward to reading more from you at dognation.com. And, of course, I'm sure we'll bump into each other here on these studios again pretty soon there as well. Thanks for your time. Yeah, really good stuff. Connor, great job covering it, and a good evaluation of those players there. And I said before, we had a short interview with Luke that you heard and saw on Dog Nation Daily going back to yesterday's program. Spent a little bit more time with him on the field after that. And, yeah, listen, this is a guy, he's ready to go, man. He's having a good time. And I think part of that is, you know, you don't have the responsibility of being a head coach anymore, so you just kind of relax and just be around players and be around the game. And some guys really respond well to that. Matt Luke seems to be doing that right now. Let me also say this. Gatorator Updater, it's been a long time since those lousy stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. We love the thought of the start to 2020 rolling in with a lot more talk about Georgia beating up on Florida. 1,161 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. That is good news. Good day for us here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. We'll be here with you tomorrow as well for Keely Ringo stuff and back again on Monday. We'll talk to you then, everybody.